Thank you, Jenna. Choir, it was beautiful. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you all for coming out on this snowy day. I know it'd be easier for some of you to be sitting home in front of the TV watching football. And so thank you very much for coming out. It is so great to see each and every one of you here today. Thank you. I think that it is really easy for most of us to see greatness in other people, to see the really good things that other people do and what they can be. But boy, when that table is turned and somebody sees something good in us, we get pretty uncomfortable. So the title of my talk today is Recognizing Our Greatness. My three points are: one, we are our own harshest critic. Number two, we're going to have a little exercise. We're going to have some fun, and we are going to see the good in ourselves. And then the third point is we are the children of a perfect God. Many people just plain don't like who they are. They're critical of themselves. They focus on their faults and their weaknesses. The recording of everything that they've done and wrong in their life is constantly playing in the background. The recording of everything they've done wrong in their life is constantly playing. It's like they've got a war going on inside. They're critical toward themselves. It's like they're angry inside. I was impatient with my kids this morning. I blew my diet yesterday. I lost my temper with my significant other. You should be ashamed of yourself. You're not attractive enough. You're not disciplined enough. You'll never beat that addiction. You'll never get it right. We've got to quit beating ourselves up. We all have weaknesses. Accept yourself as you are. No one is perfect. Quit focusing on the negative. Don't go through the day enumerating all of your shortcomings. And it's okay to feel good about yourself. Yes, I have shortcomings, but I'm trying to improve. If you're waiting until you've got everything in your life done exactly right before you can feel good about yourself, you'll be waiting a long time. Don't be afraid to take that compliment. You know, that's something that I struggle with. One of the members in our foundations class caught me at that and pointed it out. And I realize, boy, I don't take compliments at all. This morning when I came in, Judy said, "Oh, Don, that color looks good on you." And because of the training of our foundation student, I said, "Well, thank you." But I couldn't leave it at that. And I said, "Yeah, and I've got a Labrador fur. I mean, it looks like a lunch spot over here." I don't take compliments well at all. And that is, you know, that pours water on the compliment the person gave to you. It's like you're discounting what they said. So I'm going to redouble my efforts to accept compliments better. Ernest Holmes and Living the Science of Mind. I'm really getting more into the Living the Science of Mind. I don't know, it's a cycle and I'm into it more now. But in this, he said, if we could come back to see that life is like a mirror, tending to reflect back to us the images of our own thinking, then we should realize that by changing our thinking, we can change the reflection in that mirror. So if we are constantly putting ourselves down, we can change that by changing how we think. There are things that we might classify as a failure. We might have something in our life that we think is a failure. And by all standards of society, we may judge that to be a failure, and society may judge that to be a failure. But we may have something else within us that accomplishes the same goal, something that we are really good at. Maybe it's time for us to quit focusing on being a failure and start accepting the fact that there's something else that we're really good at. That can make a difference. Point number two, seeing the good in yourself. We can easily see it in other people. We recognize their talents and encourage them to go for their dreams. Take action. Most of us have no problem with seeing what is amazing about the people we care about. And we even sometimes see it in strangers. We admire them. But the second someone mentions how good we are at something, we get uncomfortable. In our culture, it is considered impolite to brag about our own talents. It is seen as being conceited or arrogant to say, I'm really good at that. We have been trained from childhood to be humble, and we don't even allow ourselves to think that we are really good at something. A lady by the name of Melody Fletcher, I call her the queen of the law of attraction, has a blog, and I followed her for years and got away from it. And just recently, I got back into some of her stuff, and this popped out at me, something that she wrote. Denying our own talents, our own greatness, stems from an antiquated belief that we are unworthy beings, never really good enough, no matter what we do. Always striving to attain approval from some deity who holds us in great contempt for some reason or another, we have been taught that to be humble is virtuous. So, we can see this greatness in everyone else. So everyone has this greatness within us except me. Everyone has it. Except me. Does that make sense? Do you really believe that? So, we're going to have a little fun now. We're going to have an exercise. So everybody, I hope, got a bulletin this morning, and in there's a calendar. Oh, that's right, the choir doesn't have bulletins. We can come up with a piece of paper for everybody, and there are pens in the seat back in front of you. Unless you're sitting in the front row. There's no room in the front row today. Yes. There should be a page in there that says, you know, a room for notes. And you can use your pen. And I want you to make a list. Everybody have something? Okay. What are your talents? Write them down. What are your talents? What makes you special? It's not two separate lists. This is just one list of things that we're good at. What are your talents? What makes you special? What are you really good at? Can be anything. These don't have to be some big deal. It doesn't have to be something that's going to make you millions of dollars. And don't limit your list in any way. Are you a good listener? Do you have a knack for making other people feel better? Can you make people laugh? Are you an amazing photographer? An artist? Do you love to cook? Musician, do you have musical talents? Perhaps you love to write and you're a good writer. Perhaps you like speaking or telling stories. Or maybe it's something as simple as you make an awesome oatmeal raisin cookie that everybody in the world loves. So this first time, your list may be kind of short, And it may have some kind of small things on it. You may downplay it a little bit. After all, making oatmeal raisin cookies isn't exactly rocket science. Anyone can do it. Resist that urge to not put it down just because it's not rocket science or that anybody could do it. The point is, you can do it. So put it down. Okay, has everybody got at least two or three things? All right, now, pick one item from your list and allow yourself to really feel good about it. Allow yourself to feel proud. Proud of being a storyteller. And now say it out loud. I make a pretty damn awesome oatmeal raisin cookie. There you go. Say it out loud. I want to hear it.
I am a singer.
Pretty damn good oatmeal
cookie. Not say oatmeal cookie. Say whatever it is you do.
I know.
All right. You did exactly what I said to do. I was in the military. I was in basic training, and we just got chewed out up one side and down the other. You will do exactly as you're told to do. Do not deviate from a word I say to you. Do not add to or take away from a thing I ever tell you. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
And that's what we all said. Yes, sir. And then without thinking all the way through, he said, and now I want the latrine crew to fall out of the drill pad in jock straps and shower clogs. He meant with pants. He came out about 10 minutes later, and there was eight of us standing there at attention. Get back in there and put your pants on. But we didn't get in trouble. That wasn't part of the sermon. So how does it feel? How does it feel to actually be proud of something? To feel proud of something that you're good at? Veal Parmesan. Does it feel a little strange? You may have never allowed yourself to feel so blatantly proud of yourself before. So over the next few days, I want you to practice feeling good about this. It's easier to start with small things. It'll be less likely to feel like you're being arrogant. Stay away from saying, I'm the best. Stick with saying, I'm awesome. And just because something comes easy for you doesn't mean that it's insignificant. One of the things we learned in the Clifton Strength Finders was that if there is something that is difficult for us, many times there are other things that are very easy for us that we can do to accomplish the same means. It's like the idea of the failure. Maybe if this thing, I can't do it right now today, maybe I'll be able to in the future, and in the meantime, I can do this other thing that I'm really skilled at. And as you get to feel better about those things, you can start picking other items and starting to feel good about them. And soon you can pick bigger and bigger items. My third point, we are children of a perfect God. When we can accept ourselves for who we are, exactly as we are, we allow more of that divine current to flow through us to make us better at all the things we do. That divine current, whatever you choose to call it, God, Spirit, that is continually, constantly trying to experience life through and as us. is always trying to push, is always trying to make our lives better for us. It is conspiring to make our lives better in spite of the blockages that we put up for it. I'll use the example of children. You know, if you were to ask a parent, you know, hey, how are your kids doing? Very few parents would sit down and enumerate every mistake, every fault, everything their kids have done wrong for the last 3 months. No, they look for the accomplishments. They look for the good things, the things that they've done well. And that is how the divine current looks at us. It looks at us for the wonderful things we do, for the talents, the skills that it has given us, that has chosen us to experience and express through us. And that is what allows that divine current then to open up and flow even greater. Just like a parent, a proud parent. And we can change our experiences by changing how we think about it. Once again, Ernest Holmes from Living the Science of Mind. We are surrounded by a creative mind which reacts to our thinking. The sum total of all of our thinking decides what is going to happen to us. We can change our thinking and cause the very law that limited us to bring us freedom. It's the same law. Takeaway for today. What I want everybody to take away today. Recognizing your greatness, admitting to yourself that you're good at something, that you do have talent, that your contribution counts, that you are great too. That's not arrogant. Replying to a compliment with a genuine thanks. Thanks, Judy. And allowing it to make you feel good is not conceited. What you're doing is honoring yourself. You're moving closer to who you really are. Because who you really are already knows your greatness. That you never doubts your talents, your gifts, or your contributions. Don't be afraid to recognize your individual, unique gifts. To admit to yourself and eventually to others that who you are and what you do really count. Each and every one of you here this day, each and every one of us in this city, this state, on this planet, are more important than we realize. Each of us is. And it's high time we remembered it. Thank you. Thank you very much. And so it is with this awareness of our own inherent divinity as children of the Most High that I ask my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me in holding our congregation in love and light. And recognizing that as that divine current expresses itself through and as each and every one of us, we are magnificent children of the Most High. And even though we sometimes stumble and fall along the way, that's all part of the plan. That's all part of being who we are. And behind the veil of separation, we are all one. We are one with one another, and we are one with God. And that all of these experiences we have on this earthly plane are all here, conspiring for our own good. So I speak my word now for anyone experiencing a health challenge. We simply know that that health challenge is an appearance. And that deep within us, that are below our DNA, below the atomic level, there is an infinite intelligence that knows perfection within us. And it is that perfection that I claim here and now. And I speak my word for anyone who is experiencing relationship issues, knowing that we are all beloved children of the Most High, and we are all constantly at choice. And so we just simply open ourselves up to allow the divine choices to guide us, to lead us, and to love us. And lastly, I speak my word for anyone experiencing financial challenges. We know that in spite of the appearance of lack and limitation and not enoughness, that we don't need to elbow anyone out of the way to get the last item, that we live in an abundant universe, a universe that supplies all of our needs now and forevermore. And so we just give thanks. We give thanks for our awareness of the power and the presence of God within our lives. For this, we are truly, truly grateful. We let it go. We let it be. And so it is.